This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This guy is a machine. All he does is work out and hit winners.
Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski.
Oregon's down by 12. They're on the 45-yard line with no timeouts.
Oregon's got an all-American field goal kicker.
Why didn't somebody tell me?
Chicago sports betting.
Touchdown, Ohio State. There are some folks who are celebrating and others who are saying, you've got to be kidding me.
You kind of know what I'm thinking about.
Over or under?
Under would be the key word. Hello?
Bet with an edge.
He'd find out the kind of inside stuff nobody else knew, and that's what he put his money on. He even figured out the different bounce you got off the different kinds of wood they used on college basketball courts, you know?
Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski on The Score.
And a friend of mine is very smart, said, I've been very lucky with gambling. I've never won.
The draft is come and gone, and we can finally move forward. Could sportsbook promotions go away? And MLB MVPs and Coby White got a raw deal. Broadcasting from The Score Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. Welcome into Early Odds, everyone. Much of the NFL draft on Thursday night was pretty boring, but the Bears had two top 10 picks. And thankfully, we can bet on it here in Illinois. So wasn't all that boring for many of us, even though the top went pretty much as expected. Unless you bet it very early on and shut out all the stupid noise on the Caleb versus Justin Fields debates, so ridiculous, there wasn't much that you could do betting number one overall since everybody knew it was going to be Caleb Williams to the Bears. It closed at minus 20,000, okay, to be the number one pick. But at nine, that's when it got really interesting between the Bears selections. Romeo Dunze was always the favorite or the second favorite, but there were decent odds up. Usually a defensive player up there as it got closer and closer. For a while, it was Verse as the second favorite. On Thursday, Murphy was the favorite to go nine, reacting to a bunch of mock drafts that were out there. But Murphy didn't go until number 16. Adunze was better than 3-1 on Thursday to go to the Bears, and the perfect scenario happened. The picks at 7 and 8 helped Adunze fall, with Tennessee going J.C. Latham, and then the big shock of the night, Atlanta, with Michael Penix after bringing in Kirk Cousins. Feels like everybody's been laughing at the Falcons for a couple of days now, and it feels like that's the layup. Let's punch down on Atlanta. I get the argument. You just paid Kirk Cousins $100 million guaranteed. Penix is old by rookie standards, won't be 29 until his rookie deal is up, and all the injuries. Understood.
And it's hard for me to defend Ryan Pace in any way. Don't forget, he's the director of player personnel now for Atlanta. And I think it's safe to say that he probably has the least amount of quarterback evaluation skills known to mankind and single-handedly set this organization back a number of years on his way out the door. But we are talking about the most important position in sports. People will argue with me about the goaltender, but I'll say the NFL quarterback. And what we saw in free agency is teams aren't going to just sit back and allow one injury to that position to derail the entire season for a team. Cousins coming off an Achilles in his age 36 season, what's our backup plan? That's what Atlanta was considering. They don't want to go down the mediocre road of Desmond Ridder, Taylor Heinicke ever again. So it's hard for me to criticize a team when I say that you've got to take shots every single year at that position until you know that you have it fixed. So that's why I can't rip the move too much. I respect that they took two big swings this offseason at the quarterback. They're not putting all of their eggs in the Kirk Cousins basket. And it was a weak draft for pass rushers. If there was a great one, they would have taken him at number 8 overall. Thursday night, quite the record-setting night overall. 6 quarterbacks go in the first round. 6 quarterbacks go in the first 12 picks. So over 4.5 QBs, that flies in if you made that wager. Haven't had 6 go in the first round since 1983 when there were 3 Hall of Famers. 7 receivers ties the 2004 record. Over 6.5 caches at 3-1. Lucky enough to have that one. That one was really close. 3 wideouts went in the final 5 picks of the first round to just hit the over. 6 D-line slash edge guys go, the number 6.5. 9 offensive linemen in the first round, the number 9.5. They're so good at this. No defensive players in the top 10, which was plus 550. I did that one last minute just because it looked like if defensive players are going to go, it was going to be in that 8-9 range, Falcons or Bears. And as long as Adunze slipped to the Bears, I figured they were going to take him. If you were following the mock drafts that were readily available, everyone seemed to nail the top 5 or 6. So in that sense, it was pretty chalky. Maybe you hit on some of those bets. But I do have to say, I love the fact that we can bet on this in Illinois. You talk to some sports fans in other states, they're not allowed to bet on awards. They're not allowed to bet on the NFL draft or the NBA draft. Caleb Williams' season props are already out. I'll get to that in a bit. First, we dive into the offensive and defensive Rookie of the Year odds. And I'm not happy about Caleb's odds. Here's that early look on my weekday show, BetQL Daily. Listen up.
So this is interesting. Per Brandon Anderson, for Defensive Rookie of the Year, 4 of the last 5 winners started the year at 7-1 or shorter. So maybe you also want to look for a pass rusher with 7 of the last 10 winners recording 7 sacks. Truth or trend, Joe? You rocking with this? Taking this into consideration this morning?
Yeah, I think the Defensive Rookie of the Year is more predictable. The offensive, I think we'll spend most of our time talking about that. That's more exciting. How about another one? 4 of the last 5 have been edge rushers. Truth or trend? Well, they make more of an impact. It's harder if you're playing in the secondary. It's more difficult if you're an off-the-ball linebacker to make that sort of an impact if you're playing the interior part of the defensive line. So I think that makes sense. I think it's truth. And for the voters, you need to be an established name out there. You don't see defensive players come out of nowhere, super long shot on the boards as far as odds go, and then they end up winning the award. So I would say truth on that, that we don't have to stray far from the top of the board. My question is, do you need team success on any level? Because if you look at last year's winner, Will Anderson, you did see team success and how that run that he made at the very end, and he was a big part of it. I know Stroud got all the credit, but Will Anderson also huge. By the way, last 2 years, same team, offensive and defensive rookie of the year. Last year was the Texans. 2 years ago, it was the Jets with Sauce and Garrett Wilson. I do think you need some team success on the defensive side to win this award. So I don't think you can be part of an awful defense and win it. So Turner is the favorite at plus 450. There's a little bit of value there. For that to be the shortest number, the odds makers are kind of telling us, well, we think he has the best chance. Many people had him as the best defensive player on the draft board. He's going to a good situation, but we're not quite sure. There's Latu over with the Colts, an edge guy. Verse is up there. I can't sit here and say, Aaron, that there's a play that I love. The Vikings will have an opportunity in the NFC North, but yeah, there are injury questions on multiple players as well. I know I just said it's tough to win out of the secondary, but there's going to be an opportunity for Arnold with the Lions to win it at 10-1.
I thought that too, but what about Mitchell with the Eagles and that defense? I know they took a little step back last year, but could he like garner some attention in this market?
Well, they took about 8 steps back. I mean, the defense was picked all season long. So if they are average, they will point to him and say that the secondary is better, big reason. And you do have that East Coast bias. The Eagles are very popular, so that could help. Big media market. Sure, compared to Minnesota, compared to Indianapolis. I know it's a large media market, but the Rams are not the most popular team. Verse is up there. So yeah, if you want to follow that, that's interesting. Chop Robinson goes to Miami. We didn't get to the Dolphins pick, but I don't understand it. Aren't they in a position where we just need offensive linemen? I know we want to take the best player available, but let's just go get offensive linemen. I didn't love the pick, but the player has the talent to make an impact on a very popular team. So that's an interesting number. I can't sit here and say, Aaron, that there's a defensive player that I would put money down right now. But history tells us you don't have to stray. You don't have to look at the second or third round picks. It's going to be a first rounder. It's going to be on a team that probably has a good year.
Paul's put some money down already on someone.
Who you got, Paul?
Oh, I did not place the actual bet, but it would be Dallas Turner. It would be Dallas Turner, yeah. I think. It's the Will Anderson corollary. And then, like, look, the defense has to be good. You got Brian Flores there, which I think definitely helps. And, I mean, Danielle Hunter had an amazing year there. So I think he could, you know, step in and have probably not a similar level of success, but there's at least a path there. Like, if the defense is good, you look at the 7-10 Jets with Sauce Gardner. You know, granted, he was a top 5 pick, though. So that certainly helps there. True. Like, his name was out there from the jump. The Eagles, I actually kind of like that case for Mitchell. Like, you, if they bounce back on defense, and he, and the secondary in particular, you look at this defense, man, they got a lot of young guys under 25. Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, Nolan Smith, Dean, Mitchell added to that. Ringo, Brown, Blankenship. I mean, how much of that was coaching an issue? There was a lot going on there last year. You're switching coordinators, bringing Matt Patricia. Like, the talent can still be there. I think there's a lot of other things going on. And also their secondary was getting older between Slay and Bradbury, and some injuries hit them. So Eagles bounce. I think that's your best case for like the, I think the Eagles will be in the mix for a playoff spot. I'll put it that way, whereas the Vikings will not. I don't hate that look there, but I'm with you guys. I don't think you got to jump in now. Latu, like Verse.
But what you said about Sauce being the corner of late, that's one. That's correct. But if you look at the outside the last 5 years, Marshawn Lattimore won, Marcus Peters won. Yeah, I think there could be an opportunity there. I would probably look to one of those corners, but maybe you find value midseason too.
Probably the only reason Diggs didn't win is because Michael Parsons was on his team. Like, the dude had like 6 picks and a couple of, like, a bunch of pick, or he had a bunch of picks, a couple pick sixes, and he, you know, he was even getting, you know, some stupid love for a defensive player of the year as a rookie. That was never going to happen, but you do have to pop like that, though, if you're going to be and avoid having an all pro on your team.
This is a draft that was viewed as one that doesn't have elite pass rushers. So maybe this is a year you go to a different position, right? So yeah. I could see it. I think there are some cases for some cornerbacks. All right, we got to get to Offensive Rookie of the Year. So my first reaction was 6 went in the top 12. It's going to be difficult if there are multiple quarterbacks that start the majority of games. It's going to be tough to beat these quarterbacks. And then I looked at it in other years recently where you've had a bunch of quarterbacks taken. 2021, you had 5 go in the first round. Did any of them win the Offensive Rookie of the Year? No, they did not. 2018, you had 5 go in the first round. Did any of them win the Offensive Rookie of the Year? That was a Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson year. No, they did not. So it is possible. And if we go over the list, How many are starting from day one? We know Penix is not. Caleb is. Daniels probably is, because I don't think they're going to start the season with Mariota. I think Drake May is going to sit at least a little bit since they decided to bring in Brissett. Bo Nix versus Zach Wilson and Jarrett Stidham. Would it surprise anybody if Bo Nix is starting week one? But I would never bet on him for this award. So a lot of different situations. Of course, J.J. McCarthy up in Minnesota, they brought in Darnold. They still have Mullins. I'm mad because if you're asking me to make a pick, I'm picking Caleb Williams in the perfect situation that he's in and all the surrounding pieces, and he's going to start. It's just a matter of being healthy. I'm frustrated because before the draft, he was plus 350. Everybody knew he was going to the Bears. After the draft, they drop it to plus 250, and it's already been bet down to plus 210. 2-1. 2-1. I can't.
Will it be minus money if he gets off to a hot start? That'll be crazy.
It could absolutely be a Stroud situation where this is over before it begins. Like, it could be over by week three, week four. Marvin, you get like shades of Larry Fitzgerald and Kyler Murray out there. Like if they're putting up highlight reels, something like
he's
that.
He's got the name.
Mix for sure. Yeah. He's got the legacy.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, at 6-1. But I think also you can wait a little bit on that, because I think like people are going to be looking for excuses to bet Caleb. And so you might even get a little bit of better number. I mean, we do the Rashee Rice thing with Xavier Worthy. Step in, and it's just, man, Andy and rookies is a weird thing. It's going to be, you don't have to bet it now. I'll say that. They're going to have to work him in sooner rather than later, especially depending on what happens with Rice. But I don't know that you have to bet 16. You'll probably get a better number.
Why are we sleeping on Jaden Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury? He's got Terry McLaurin. No?
No.
I mean, if they make a run at the East, I mean, they only trade away their whole defense. So, like, he could, you know, he carries them on offense.
We haven't even mentioned the quarterback that's in the other good situation. McCarthy.
No.
Justin Jefferson's his wide receiver one. He's got a great play caller. He's in a good position. I wouldn't say it's quite the Bears. Some would argue that it is better than the Bears' position because of the coaching and the elite playmaker on the outside. And Addison more than popped last year.
True.
He was phenomenal.
Good point.
All right. I do this under protest, but do we make the Texans case for Turner and McCarthy? Sneak into like a playoff spot?
I'd rather bet McCarthy than Daniels, and they're both 10-1.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Terry McLaurin is not Justin Jefferson, and the head coaching, the coaching staff is better.
And we can obviously cross out Adunze, because with Caleb there, he has no chance. Of the top receivers, I only see Harrison with the chance. And we've been talking about Harrison for so long that if he's scoring touchdowns, if he's putting up numbers, he could absolutely be in this conversation. Is Caleb beatable? Assuming health, is he beatable?
Yeah. The two knocks on him that had me burning money betting anyone but Caleb in the fall was going against Utah and going against Notre Dame, i.e. pro-level talent on defenses, and he stunk. What's to say that doesn't happen? I mean, granted, the offensive line was an issue, but he's a rookie. I think in general, what Stroud did is the... Okay, I think in general, what Stroud did is the exception. I'd be surprised if someone takes the league by storm like that again. And a great OC down there, too. And
no May, no Knicks. Penix isn't even going to play. At least that's the expectation. But, you know, we saw Dak Prescott play and win this award. And he was 100-1 that offseason. You don't root for it, but crazy things happen. What if Penix is forced into action early? He's 60-1.
Like, if we're going to go, okay, if we're going to go the Dak comp, isn't it Spencer Rattler being what he was supposed to be for someone?
Oh, yeah, that was a long time ago. I feel like he's been in college 15 years.
True, but like he's 100-1. He'll be a later round pick.
And no chance for Bowers, right? No chance for the best tight end in the draft by a mile?
No.
Okay.
No, thank you. That sounds like I'd rather light my money on fire.
I wanted to bet Caleb, but I can't at this number. It's way too short.
Yeah.
Yeah. like, honestly, if he runs away with it from the jump, fine. I'm not tying my money up for, you know, 22 weeks on a 2-1.
2-1. No chance. Yeah. No chance.
It doesn't even feel like a futures bet. That was from my weekday show, BetQL Daily, 8 to 11 a.m. on the BetQL Network, which you can find on the Odyssey app. You just search BetQL Network. Watch us twitch.tv/BetQL and also listen on 105.9 FM HD2. So now you know the Caleb odds for Offensive Rookie of the Year. But he's also the plus 110 favorite to be the regular season rookie passing yards leader over J.J. McCarthy. And the total for passing yards with Caleb Williams, 3,400 yards. Check out these Bears numbers. They are a favorite to make the playoffs, minus 115 favorite. The win total set at 8.5. I do like the over. And the best number I could find on the NFC North odds for the Bears to win the division, plus 370. I'm pretty certain once we get to the season, that number will not be plus 370. Feels weird, but I'm probably going to bet all three. I'm very positive about the 2024 Bears season. You can follow me on X at Joe Ostrowski, at Joe Ostrowski. The sports betting landscape in Illinois, close to changing for the worse. Details on the other side. This is Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski, Saturdays 8 to 9 a.m. on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski.
Oregon's down by 12. They're on the 45-yard line with no timeouts.
Oregon's got an All-American field goal kicker.
Why didn't somebody tell me?
Bet with an edge.
He'd find out the kind of inside stuff nobody else knew, and that's what he put his money on. He even figured out the different bounce you got off the different kinds of wood they used on college basketball courts, you know?
Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski.
A friend of mine is very smart, said I've been very lucky with gambling. I've never won.
Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski on Sports Radio 670 The Score, and there could be some bad news coming our way involving legalized sports betting. Yeah, it feels like we're going to go back in time a little bit, but the tax rate is suddenly going to be a big issue very soon, and that will be decided. To help us with the details, we bring in the president of the Sports Betting Alliance, Jeremy Kudon. You can follow him on X at Jay Kudon with the K. And Jeremy, we've been talking about this. It feels like the news or potential news of how it's going to impact Illinois sports bettors has been flying under the radar. What exactly is Governor Pritzker trying to do?
So when Governor Pritzker announced his proposed budget earlier in the year, I think it was in March, in that budget, he didn't announce it publicly, but in his budget, he tried to balance it with a tax rate increase on sports betting of about 133%. So right now we're currently taxed at 15%, which is essentially the national average. And he has proposed, at least in his budget, to increase our tax to 35%.
More than double. That's where we're at. So their projections are saying that that would bring in $200 million more in taxed revenue, correct?
That's what they're saying, yes.
Yeah. You agree with that?
No, I don't agree with that. And I'll tell you why. Because if the tax rate goes to 35%, yeah, which would be the third highest in the country, the second highest in the country, behind New York, which is at 51%, and then just a little bit above Pennsylvania at 34%. The problem with that is if you make it that rate, then just like in New York where I live, you're going to see that the companies are going to have to do a few things. One is they're going to cut all of their promotions. So all those promotional credits, the deposit matches, even the odds boosts will either disappear or they'll be severely limited, only offered, you know, during the Super Bowl to new customers. And then what you're also going to start seeing is a change in the odds. Companies can't make money at 35%. They'll lose money. So they do what any company would do, is they'll change the odds, almost like inflation, raising the prices. And as you know, Joe, if you change the odds, that means people have one or two choices to make. They can either accept those worse odds and just make less money on their wagers, or they're going to move back to the illegal market where they were until just the last couple of years.
And if you change the odds in that manner, it is going to make it almost impossible to have some sort of a profit if that's what you care about. Now, if it's for entertainment, okay, fine. I understand where you're coming from. Could you give me an example? So if we're betting on the upcoming Bears game and the point spread is 7, what you're typically going to see is -110 on each side, right? You bet 11 to win 10 bucks on each side. Sometimes one side is juice, but if it's -120 on one side, that means the other side is going to be +100, talking about 20 cents. So how bad could it be? Are we saying that if this were to go through, these companies, when they're looking at the bottom line, they might have to go to -115 on each side, -120? What are we looking at?
I think you're looking at least -115 or even 120. It could be 125. Like this would be such a significant change and increase. And imagine going from paying 15 cents of every dollar you're making to 35 cents of every dollar in an industry where your margins are usually like 5 or 6%. You know better than I do exactly how those odds are going to go, but I would say probably, you know, at least 10 points right there.
Yeah. I mean, what we're doing this morning is we are not sitting here crying poor for the sports books. We're just saying that if this goes through, if this tax rate more than doubles on sports betting in Illinois, the bettors are going to see it. They're going to see it immediately, and it's going to hurt you. And I don't know if people are going to walk away, but the whole point of this thing was to get people out of the illegal sports betting market. Let's do it legalized. And they're going to do it anyways, so the state might as well make money off them. But it feels like they're being a little greedy at this point, right?
I would say so. I mean, look, we have Governor Pritzker to thank for sports betting in Illinois. Illinois is one of the leaders on this. Were there issues with that initial bill? Yes. That I think, Joe, partially because of you and your listeners, we were able to fix those problems, like the on-site registration requirement. Mm-hmm. But you know, we are incredibly grateful to the governor for being a big proponent of this early on in 2019. This was one of the first things. This was in his first five things that he wanted to accomplish when he was elected governor. And so, I mean, we're so grateful to him. But yes, it feels like the state, there are other ways to either raise revenue. This does not seem like one that would fall primarily on your listeners, people who are, you know, use sports betting as just a form of entertainment, a way to enjoy watching the draft. I don't know about you, but I took a risk and thought that maybe four quarterbacks would be drafted with the first four picks.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed with the lack of trading last night. But yes, the problem is going to be is that the boost that people saw last night, the types of like promotions that you saw, those are necessarily going to go away. The marketing, the sponsorships, all of that will start to go away. And if we're not able to advertise, it makes it that much harder for my clients, for the DraftKings, the FanDuels, the BetMGMs, the sponsor of this show. It makes it that much harder for us to attract people and bring more people back from that illegal market.
A couple more minutes with the president of the Sports Betting Alliance, Jeremy Kudon. This is Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Jeremy, when people are novices in this space and they ask me for some advice, just starting off, the first thing I say, it is very simple. I've repeated it time and time again. What you have to do is, if you want to do this, don't go to one sports book. Don't go to two sports books. We have eight mobile sports books in Illinois. And I understand if you don't want to spread your money on eight different sports books, but you have to shop your odds, especially with futures. You will see situations where something is 20-1 at one sports book, but another sports book, you can win double that. You could find a 40-1. That exists. My concern here is not only the odds, which you talked about, that would be tough, but also, are these smaller sports books going to go away and it's just going to be the heavyweights in the very end? That would be my concern. And then guess what? As a bettor, takes away one of your advantages. You wouldn't be able to shop odds because maybe we'd be looking at two or three spots instead of eight.
Competition is always, for everything in life, you want to have competition. Competition leads to innovation. So like, you know, without competition, I don't think we would have ever had the single game parlay come to the US and really change how, I mean, that's a material change in how people bet on sports now than how they bet on it before legalization. I don't know if anybody was focused on that kind of idea of a single game parlay. But yes, you're absolutely right, Joe. Like, and we see it in New York. We've already lost in our state that I'm in with 51, you know, with a 51% tax, three companies have already just stopped operating and two others are almost, I hate to use this term, it's almost like zombies. You know, they're not putting any money into their apps. And I fear that would happen in Illinois as well. I was so impressed. I was in Chicago on Wednesday. And what I was really excited about was seeing all the billboards for Circa, you know, a company that wasn't a big player or wasn't even a player in the first, you know, 5 years of legal sports betting in the United States and is now coming in. Companies aren't going to do that. Mm-hmm. You won't see the new companies. You won't see the new innovations. You won't see the type of, you know, innovation and odds and the opportunity for people to say, hey, you know what? I want to try out this new sports book.
If our listeners want to try and stop this, make sure the tax rate stays at 15% instead of ballooning out to 35%, what can they do?
So that's a great question. If you are a FanDuel, DraftKings, or BetMGM customer, you've probably already received texts from the companies or an email. Or if you even go on the FanDuel or DraftKings apps, there should be a pop-up that will allow you to take action. Otherwise, and this is a little bit of a mouthful, you can go to www.sportsbettingalliance.org and just hit take action. And then you hit on the little picture, like on the map, you'll just see Illinois and you can hit on Illinois and that will allow you to take action. You just put your name down. It takes like 45 seconds total to do this. And that will, it will help you create your own email and that email will go to the governor. It will go to your representative in the assembly and it will go to your senator in the Senate. And those emails really do matter because they tell the members like, hey, don't touch sports betting. If you're going to tax something else. Just don't do sports betting. You know, and because many of your listeners, like that is the thing that, you know, they work hard. This is the thing they go home to and they enjoy. They don't want to see that experience get worse. They want to see it get better.
For sure. Sportsbettingalliance.org. Click on take action. This is Jeremy Kudon, yes, president of the Sports Betting Alliance. Jeremy, thanks for all the info and hopefully we'll have some positive news in the coming weeks on this. All right.
That'd be great. Thank you so much, Joe. Thank you to all listeners on this.
I really hope we don't see minus 115 or minus 120 as some sort of new norm, because I'll just speak for myself, but that would make me want to bet less and consider the offshore betting market, going back to that backwards. That would not be a good thing for the legalized Illinois market. All right, let's take a look at the MLB MVP odds, and NBA voters hate Coby White. That's next. Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski. You've got 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski.
Oregon's down by 12. They're on the 45-yard line with no timeouts.
Oregon's got an All-American field goal kicker.
Why didn't somebody tell me?
Bet with an edge.
He'd find out the kind of inside stuff nobody else knew, and that's what he put his money on. He even figured out the different bounce you got off the different kinds of wood they used on college basketball courts, you know?
Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski.
And a friend of mine is very smart, said, I've been very lucky with gambling. I've never won.
The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Welcome back on Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670. The Score, another Saturday morning with you. We're here every Saturday, 8 to 9 a.m. Odyssey app. And of course, here on 670 The Score, we bring in our weekly contributor, Jim Miller. What's up, Jim?
Joe, it's baseball weather at this time of year. And you think about, yes, we just got done with the NFL draft. But at least here in the Chicagoland area, temperatures in the 80s this weekend. You're getting into the season a little bit more. All the teams but the White Sox have realized baseball started this year. So it's one of those things where it's an exciting time of year. And there's some guys off to really good starts, too.
Can I please just stick around? I had to cancel Wednesday night's game because I was looking at it. Oh, during our game, it's going to drop into the 30s, coach. Maybe we should postpone this one. Ridiculous. We've been waiting for multiple months here for it to turn, and we're still waiting. So I'm not buying it until I see it for at least two straight weeks.
Two straight weeks, you might be waiting a little bit longer here. We are just getting into May pretty soon. I mean, the Kentucky Derby's just around the corner. But, hey, we've had more 70-degree days this year than I can remember in recent history. I'll take it when we get it and just go from there, schedule accordingly.
All right, all right. Let's talk about most valuable player in Major League Baseball. You alerted me to the straw poll over on MLB.com, and I'm a sucker for this. I always pay attention when I do it in the NBA. It moves the numbers big time. And MLB, yes, it's very early on, but it's something to work off of. Do you want to start AL or National League side?
You know what? Let's start on the AL side because I found things to be really intriguing, Joe. And like you mentioned, MLB.com did this early vote. It was 45 experts who voted.
Yep.
And they didn't quite give the realm of experts, but I'm guessing some of these are guys that will actually vote for this award at the end of the year. But I thought a lot of the AL candidates weren't having nearly as strong of a season as what you're seeing on the NL side. It was really intriguing to see Juan Soto at the top, but then after that, it's really muddied underneath, and there actually is some value there, too.
Yeah, 38 of the 45 voters gave their first place vote to Juan Soto. Juan Soto is your favorite in the AL. But it's not like we're talking about Ohtani numbers. We're talking about plus 350 if you are interested in Juan Soto. I'm not surprised at all. I think when we talked about the AL MVP, that this was my pick. I wouldn't bet it, but this would be my pick in Soto. And then Witt was second. And guess what? Witt is second in the odds for the AL MVP. Trout was third. Trout's third in the odds for the AL MVP. I was surprised they even brought up Altuve. Put a line through that name. There is no way, no matter what happens, Altuve wins this award.
And here's the thing that I didn't get. These are guys, again, experts. Look at what some of these guys are doing early in the year. Jose Altuve, yes, he's hitting 350. He's got 6 home runs, 8 RBIs. Even Mike Trout, he's been 237, 10 home runs. Every home run that he hits is a solo home run, 13 RBIs. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where it really surprised me on the AL side of things for some of these guys. Because you start to get a little bit lower on the list, Joe, and there's some guys that are putting up some productive numbers. Two guys that I want to run by you.
Go ahead.
Gunnar Henderson of the Orioles.
Love it.
309, 8 home runs, 20 RBIs. And then a guy you and I talked about earlier on in the year before the season started who's sitting at 50-1. What about Adolis Garcia? 312, 7 home runs, 23 RBIs. He's stealing some bases. His numbers are way better than some of these guys that they're talking about in the top five.
All right. I made a bet in this market, and I'm shocked to see the number. I kind of made the bet, and I just let it sit, and I haven't been checking every day until you brought this up. And then I'm taking a look, and I got a little too excited, Jim. I bet Gunnar Henderson. I bet Gunnar Henderson. Yep, absolutely. Bet him. Love the player, the ceiling. He's number one in Fangraphs WAR at this early stage in the season, ahead of Witt and Soto and Altuve, all those names that are being voted on in this straw poll. I got Gunnar Henderson. It doesn't say the date that I made this wager, but it was recently, over the last couple of weeks, Jim. 100-1.
Oh, my gosh. And you're looking at 7.5-1 right now.
Yeah, there's a 9 out there. That's the biggest number that I do see. But, whoa, that shortened quickly. I must have gotten that one just in the nick of time.
But here's the thing about it. Look at the team. You know the team is going to win their games. There's a lot more focus on the team. One, because they play in the AL East. Two, because everybody's been watching Jackson Holliday try to get hit number two.
Right.
But you just look up and down this lineup. They're young. They're exciting. They're good. And again, they're playing in the AL East. And Gunnar Henderson right now is the best of the best on this team. But he's doing it across the board. It's average. It's home runs. It's RBIs. He's stolen 5 bags too, Joe. This is a guy that could put together a season where you're looking at 30 home runs, 100-plus RBIs, 25 bags, and a 300 average. To me, that sounds like a guy that should be in the MVP talk the entire season.
All right, you mentioned it, and I wanted to bet Holliday as soon as he was called up for AL Rookie of the Year, but the number was too short, so I took a pass because it was sitting there at 3-1, and he's gone through these struggles. Now we're sitting at 10-1. Should we be considering that before he gets hot, or do you think these struggles are going to continue?
Here's the question. You brought him up, what, 3 games into the minor league season?
Yeah.
You almost have to make that determination that you're just sticking with him now. The one thing that is a little bit curious, though, is you have 2 other guys that are playing second base for Baltimore that are being productive right now. So that's going to be the question, is how many at-bats does he get? How much are they going to allow for these growing pains? But at the same time, because of the production of a Gunnar Henderson, you have an Adley Rutschman, you have some other guys on the team that are producing, you can allow him to play through these growing pains a little bit too. So maybe they do stick it out, and if he does get hot, you look up and down the AL, things are a little bit more wide open on the Rookie of the Year voting. This is probably going to be the best number you get, because you're right. Back-to-back multi-hit games, all of a sudden you know that number is going to get slashed in half.
Does Varsho have a chance?
He'd probably be the only other one that I think would have a chance, don't you?
Yeah, crazy long number. If you look at his numbers on the season, early on, they're terrific. He's number 6 behind Salvi Perez as far as WAR. It's just a matter of, is he going to keep this going? Now, when you think of that Toronto lineup, I don't know that he's the first name that you think of, but metrics-wise, in the first month of the season, he's up there with the top players, and you could find him at 150-1. So maybe that's another long shot. Maybe I'll just compile a few long shots in the AL since it appears to be wide open.
It is. It's so wide open. And it was just because of the Jackson Holliday hype. I mean, everything is really wide open on that end of things. But you can find just so much odds-wise because of the fluctuation, because things are very top-heavy. And I don't think they should be on the AL side because nobody's having that massive of a start of the year.
Early odds with Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670, The Score, talking MLB MVP awards with our weekly contributor, Jim Miller. Over on the National League side, Jim, let's look at the very top. And it is Mookie Betts. Everybody's been talking about Mookie Betts early on this season. He is +250 as the favorite. And then there's a big-time drop. You go to Ronald Acuna, around 9-1. Otani, 10-1. Tatis, 11-1. All of these mentioned in the MLB.com straw poll. In fact, Betts received 41 out of 45 first-place votes. We've talked about Otani. We're in agreement. He is not winning the NL MVP. And then after that, I'm not sure. It's tough. Do you have someone that can beat Betts? Injury always comes into play, but do you want to bet against Betts?
I think you can right now, because here's what's interesting, Joe. I mean, first off, any of these guys that you named would be atop the list in the American League. Any of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. Mookie Betts started out absolutely on fire. This was the guy scoring runs, hitting home runs, just stealing bases, you name it. He's kind of leveled off just a little bit. Because now, comparatively speaking, all of a sudden, some other guys have come up, not only average-wise, driving in runs, hitting home runs, but there's some guys that I found really intriguing on this list. First off, a guy that, in this MLB.com straw poll, was sitting 4th and is sitting at 40-1 for odds right now, Joe. Mm-hmm. That's Marcell Ozuna. Think about Marcell Ozuna last year. He was horrible the first 6 weeks of the season and still put up huge numbers. Well, guess what? This year, he's not horrible. He's hitting .344 right now. 9 homers, 29 RBIs, 18 runs scored for a team that you know is going to score a ton of runs. You're driving in Ronald Acuna. You're driving in some of these other guys that you know are getting on base. So that's one name that I would look to. And then another guy, and a guy we talked about last year, Joe, but again, because the stolen base has now become important again, and you saw it with Ronald Acuna Jr. last year, what about Ellie De La Cruz? 313, 7 home runs, 18 RBIs, 23 runs scored, 15 bags already. This is a guy that's going to be going into possibly somewhere between 75 and maybe even 100 stolen bases this year if he can stay healthy. You start putting those numbers up again, you have to take a little bit of notice. But there's a lot of guys on the NL side that are very, very good. And I think you can find some value because Mookie Betts is such a heavy favorite.
I'm much more hesitant on the National League side to take shots. As you mentioned, Betts is a heavy favorite. But after Betts, there are some other killers out there where it's going to be tough. Are you going to pass up also Acuna and Ohtani in addition to Betts? That's my concern. I do like Tatis. The numbers getting to a point where maybe you don't want to bet it. It's sitting there at 11-1. I think that's interesting. I wrote down your guy, De La Cruz. He's 20-1. He's third in F4. I think that's worth a consideration. But man, is he going to have to do a whole lot to beat all of these names. And I didn't even get to Bryce Harper, right? Not even mention Matt Olson, some of the other guys that you'd have to beat as well. Another name that is second in the NL in B-War that has not been mentioned here, that has a good number, Ketel Marte, 50-1. Maybe a name that you have to consider. I think Arizona is going to have another really strong season. Yep. After everything they accomplished last year, I know people are like, oh, I don't know if they can repeat that. I don't know. They have enough talent. The way they're built, I think they could.
Isn't Arizona kind of the NL version of the Baltimore Orioles?
Yeah.
A team with some youth, a team with some star power, but a team with just a whole lot of guys that are very talented. And they make each other better around them. Look at the factor that Corbin Carroll does just upon everybody else. But Ketel Marte is another guy that has a little bit of everything. It's average, it's power, it's speed, and he plays basically every game. So he's out there constantly. So that's a big number, but you're right. The NL is going to be very tough, of course, because of the star power of the Dodgers, star power of the Braves. But after that, there are some guys that are having sneaky good seasons that do provide some value.
Yeah, not willing to do anything quite yet. For me, over on the National League side, I want to sit back for a little bit, but take shots on the AL side. What about the NBA? They've been rolling out the awards, and we found out finally about Most Improved Player of the Season. We've talked about it throughout the year. It was probably a closer vote than most people thought. We said Kobe White should be in the mix, and he had a good shot. He really did when it came down to the final tally. A lot of these awards end up being very close. 319 to 305, Tyrese Maxey is your Most Improved Player of the Year. I'm just frustrated, Jim. I ranted about it when Ja Morant won. Same thing with Randall. Markkanen, I agreed with that one, but I just don't think that Tyrese Maxey should be eligible for the award when he's already established himself as a 20-point-per-game player, and that's where I differ from the voters. 9-19, doubling your scoring. Yes, that's what I'm looking for. But once again, the voters, second tier to maybe first tier, they're considering that Most Improved.
I think the voters flat out got this wrong, Joe. Here's the thing to think about.
That's why I stopped betting on this award.
And it's hard when it's one of those that's a subjective voting award. But really, what do the bettors look at here? Think about this. Tyrese Maxey went from 60 games played in 2022-2023 with 41 started to 70 games played, 70 started. Kobe White started 2 games in the 2022-2023 season. This year, he started 78 games. Okay? Again, most improved. Tyrese Maxey's field goal percentage and three-point percentage dropped this year compared to last. Yes, he had marginal increases on rebounds per game, a little bit better increase on assists and points. But look at what Kobe White did. Improved field goal percentage, improved three-point percentage, improved 1.6 rebounds per game, improved 2.3 assists per game, and improved 9.4 points per game. Isn't that the what you want for most improved player? I'll tell you this. There were 12 voters who put votes in for Kobe White that did not put a single vote in for Tyrese Maxey. Those were the 12 guys that got it right in this category.
Interesting. I figured it was going to be Maxey, but it doesn't mean that I have to like it. Maybe a little bit of Embiid / Sixers effect and having a better season than the Bulls. I don't know what all the reasoning is. East Coast bias, not quite sure, but Kobe White certainly deserved this award. In the end, great season for him, but it did feel like it was going Maxey's way. whether we like that one or not. All right, Jim, what about the horses today?
So three horses on Saturday at Hawthorne. It's home cooking. A reminder, Joe, next week our focus becomes on the Kentucky Derby, your race. Time of year to pick horses. So I cannot wait to hear who you're going to pick in the Derby. But my three horses at Hawthorne on Saturday, we're going to bet them all across the board. Race four, bet the two horse. It was this big across the board. Race five, I bet the seven horse. Breaking news across the board. And race seven, bet the seven. Getting paid across the board. We're building our bankroll for Derby Day, Joe. We're going to talk about that next week.
See, that's why you got to be careful with the victory laps. That's why you got to be really careful.
We never forget.
I'm hearing from you. I saw Mitch Rosen the other day. He kept bringing it up to me. Like, everybody's like, oh, it's your time of the year. All of a sudden, I'm a Derby expert.
You're
the expert. You're the horse expert on the show, not me. You run into it once in a while. Like, look, I tell people all the time. Okay, yeah, got lucky. You don't tail a guy after he goes on an 80% heater for a month. That's when you want to go the other way. Okay, you do want to listen so you know what to fade. That's the actionable information that I can provide for you. But we'll go over that coming up.
The fade Joe time of year. I love
it. I'm just warning people. If you've been in this racket for a little bit, you understand exactly what I'm talking about. Thank you, Jim. Enjoy the nice weather outside, all right?
All right. You got it, Joe. Good luck.
There goes Jim Miller. And we also heard from the president of the Sports Betting Alliance, Jeremy Kudon, on Governor Pritzker trying to more than double the tax on sports books and why it could be bad for you. Broke down all sorts of Bears odds earlier in the hour here on Early Odds. Find it all on the Odyssey app. Just search Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski. Find me weekdays 8 to 11 a.m. on BetQL Daily, which airs on the BetQL Network via the Odyssey app, Twitch, and 105.9 FM HD2. Check out the podcast feed. Special programming for you this Saturday morning. Up next, it's the Mullion Haw Draft Special for the next 3 hours. Cash those tickets and keep it locked right here on 670 The Score.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski.
Oregon's down by 12. They're on the 45-yard line with no timeouts.
Oregon's got an All-American field goal kicker.
Why didn't somebody tell me?
Bet with an edge.
He'd find out the kind of inside stuff nobody else knew, and that's what he put his money on. He even figured out the different bounce you got off the different kinds of wood they used on college basketball courts, you know?
Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski.
A friend of mine is very smart, said, I've been very lucky with gambling. I've never won.
The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Welcome back on Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670. The Score, another Saturday morning with you. We're here every Saturday, 8 to 9 a.m. Odyssey app. And of course, here on 670, The Score, we bring in our weekly contributor, Jim Miller. What's up, Jim?
Joe, it's baseball weather at this time of year. And you think about, yes, we just got done with the NFL draft. But at least here in the Chicagoland area, temperatures in the 80s this weekend. You're getting into the season a little bit more. All the teams but the White Sox have realized baseball started this year. So it's one of those things where it's an exciting time of year. And there's some guys off to really good starts, too.
Can I please just stick around? I had to cancel Wednesday night's game because I was looking at it. Oh, during our game, it's going to drop into the 30s, coach. Maybe we should postpone this one. Ridiculous. We've been waiting for multiple months here for it to turn, and we're still waiting. So I'm not buying it until I see it for at least two straight weeks.
Two straight weeks, you might be waiting a little bit longer here. We are just getting into May pretty soon. I mean, the Kentucky Derby's just around the corner. But, hey, we've had more 70-degree days this year than I can remember in recent history. I'll take it when we get it and just go from there, schedule accordingly.
All right. Let's talk about most valuable player in Major League Baseball. You alerted me to the straw poll over on MLB.com, and I'm a sucker for this. I always pay attention when I do it in the NBA. It moves the numbers big time. And MLB, yes, it's very early on, but it's something to work off of. Do you want to start AL or National League side?
You know what? Let's start on the AL side because I found things to be really intriguing, Joe. And like you mentioned, MLB.com did this early vote. It was 45 experts who voted.
Yep.
And they didn't quite give the realm of experts, but I'm guessing some of these are guys that will actually vote for this award at the end of the year. But I thought a lot of the AL candidates weren't having nearly as strong of a season as what you're seeing on the NL side. It was really intriguing to see Juan Soto at the top, but then after that, it's really muddied underneath, and there actually is some value there, too.
Yeah, 38 of the 45 voters gave their first place vote to Juan Soto. Juan Soto is your favorite in the AL. But it's not like we're talking about Ohtani numbers. We're talking about plus 350 if you are interested in Juan Soto. I'm not surprised at all. I think when we talked about the AL MVP, that this was my pick. I wouldn't bet it, but this would be my pick in Soto. And then Witt was second. And guess what? Witt is second in the odds for the AL MVP. Trout was third. Trout's third in the odds for the AL MVP. I was surprised they even brought up Altuve. Put a line through that name. There is no way, no matter what happens, Altuve wins this award.
And here's the thing that I didn't get. These are guys, again, experts. Look at what some of these guys are doing early in the year. Jose Altuve, yes, he's hitting 350. He's got 6 home runs, 8 RBIs. Even Mike Trout, he's been 237, 10 home runs. Every home run that he hits is a solo home run, 13 RBIs. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where it really surprised me on the AL side of things for some of these guys. Because you start to get a little bit lower on the list, Joe, and there's some guys that are putting up some productive numbers. Two guys that I want to run by you.
Go ahead.
Gunnar Henderson of the Orioles.
Love it.
309, 8 home runs, 20 RBIs. And then a guy you and I talked about earlier on in the year before the season started who's sitting at 50-1. What about Adolis Garcia? 312, 7 home runs, 23 RBIs. He's stealing some bases. His numbers are way better than some of these guys that they're talking about in the top five.
All right. I made a bet in this market, and I'm shocked to see the number. I kind of made the bet, and I just let it sit,
And I haven't been checking every day until you brought this up. And then I'm taking a look and I got a little too excited, Jim. I bet Gunnar Henderson. Gunnar Henderson. Yep, absolutely. Bet him. Love the player, the ceiling. He's number one in Fangraphs WAR at this early stage in the season, ahead of Witt and Soto and Altuve, all those names that are being voted on in this straw poll. I got Gunnar Henderson. It doesn't say the date that I made this wager, but it was recently, over the last couple of weeks, Jim. 100-1.
Oh, my gosh. And you're looking at 7.5-1 right now.
Yeah, there's a 9 out there. That's the biggest number that I do see. But, whoa, that shortened quickly. I must have gotten that one just in the nick of time.
But here's the thing about it. Look at the team. You know the team is going to win their games. There's a lot more focus on this team. One, because they play in the AL East. Two, because everybody's been watching Jackson Holliday try to get hit number two.
Right.
But you just look up and down this lineup. They're young. They're exciting. They're good. And again, they're playing in the AL East. And Gunnar Henderson right now is the best of the best on this team. But he's doing it across the board. It's average. It's home runs. It's RBIs. He's stolen 5 bags too, Joe. This is a guy that could put together a season where you're looking at 30 home runs, 100-plus RBIs, 25 bags, and a 300 average. To me, that sounds like a guy that should be in the MVP talk the entire season.
All right, you mentioned it. And I wanted to bet Holliday as soon as he was called up for AL Rookie of the Year, but the number was too short, so I took a pass because it was sitting there at 3-1. And he's gone through these struggles. Now we're sitting at 10-1. Should we be considering that before he gets hot, or do you think these struggles are going to continue?
Here's the question. You brought him up, what, 3 games into the minor league season?
Yeah.
You almost have to make that determination that you're just sticking with him now. The one thing that is a little bit curious, though, is you have 2 other guys that are playing second base for Baltimore that are being productive right now. So that's going to be the question, is how many at-bats does he get? How much are they going to allow for these growing pains? But at the same time, because of the production of a Gunnar Henderson, you have an Adley Rutschman, you have some other guys on the team that are producing, you can allow him to play through these growing pains a little bit too. So maybe they do stick it out. And if he does get hot, you look up and down the AL, things are a little bit more wide open on the Rookie of the Year voting. This is probably going to be the best number you get, because you're right. Back-to-back multi-hit games, all of a sudden you know that number is going to get slashed in half.
Does Varsho have a chance?
He'd probably be the only other one that I think would have a chance, don't you?
A crazy long number. If you look at his numbers on the season, early on, they're terrific. He's number 6 behind Salvi Perez as far as WAR. It's just a matter of, is he going to keep this going? Now, when you think of that Toronto lineup, I don't know that he's the first name that you think of, but metrics-wise, in the first month of the season, he's up there with the top players, and you could find him at 150-1. So maybe that's another long shot. Maybe I'll just compile a few long shots in the AL since it appears to be wide open.
It is. It's so wide open. And it was just because of the Jackson Holliday hype. I mean, everything is really wide open on that end of things. But you can find just so much odds-wise because of the fluctuation, because things are very top-heavy. And I don't think they should be on the AL side because nobody's having that massive of a start of the year.
Early odds with Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670, The Score, talking MLB MVP awards with our weekly contributor, Jim Miller. Over on the National League side, Jim, let's look at the very top. And it is Mookie Betts. Everybody's been talking about Mookie Betts early on this season. He is +250 as the favorite. And then there's a big-time drop. You go to Ronald Acuna, around 9-1. Otani, 10-1. Tatis, 11-1. All of these mentioned in the MLB.com straw poll. In fact, Betts received 41 out of 45 first-place votes. We've talked about Otani. We're in agreement. He is not winning the NL MVP. And then after that, I'm not sure. It's tough. Do you have someone that can beat Betts? Injury always comes into play, but do you want to bet against Betts?
I think you can right now, because here's what's interesting, Joe. I mean, first off, any of these guys that you named would be atop the list in the American League. Any of those guys. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. Mookie Betts started out absolutely on fire. This was the guy scoring runs, hitting home runs, just stealing bases, you name it. He's kind of leveled off just a little bit. Because now, comparatively speaking, all of a sudden, some other guys have come up, not only average-wise, driving in runs, hitting home runs, but there's some guys that I found really intriguing on this list. First off, a guy that, in this MLB.com straw poll, was sitting 4th and is sitting at 40-1 for odds right now, Joe. Mm-hmm. That's Marcell Ozuna. Think about Marcell Ozuna last year. He was horrible the first 6 weeks of the season and still put up huge numbers. Well, guess what? This year, he's not horrible. He's hitting 344 right now. 9 homers, 29 RBIs, 18 runs scored for a team that you know is going to score a ton of runs. You're driving in Ronald Acuna. You're driving in some of these other guys that you know are getting on base. So that's one name that I would look to. And then another guy, and a guy we talked about last year, Joe, but again, because the stolen base has now become important again, and you saw it with Ronald Acuna Jr. last year, what about Ellie De La Cruz? 313, 7 home runs, 18 RBIs, 23 runs scored, 15 bags already. This is a guy that's going to be going into possibly somewhere between 75 and maybe even 100 stolen bases this year if he can stay healthy. You start putting those numbers up again, you have to take a little bit of notice. But there's a lot of guys on the NL side that are very, very good. And I think you can find some value because Mookie Betts is such a heavy favorite.
I'm much more hesitant on the National League side to take shots. As you mentioned, Betts is a heavy favorite, but after Betts, there are some other killers out there where it's going to be tough. Are you going to pass up also Acuna and Ohtani in addition to Betts? That's my concern. I do like Tatis. The number's getting to a point where maybe you don't want to bet it. It's sitting there at 11-1. I think that's interesting. I wrote down your guy, De La Cruz. He's 20-1. He's third in F4. I think that's worth a consideration, but man, is he going to have to do a whole lot to beat all of these names. And I didn't even get to Bryce Harper, right? Not even mention Matt Olson, some of the other guys that you'd have to beat as well. Another name that is second in the NL in B-War that has not been mentioned here, that has a good number, Ketel Marte, 50-1. Maybe a name that you have to consider. I think Arizona is going to have another really strong season. Yep. After everything they accomplished last year, I know people are like, oh, I don't know if they can repeat that. I don't know. They have enough talent. The way they're built, I think they could.
Isn't Arizona kind of the NL version of the Baltimore Orioles?
Yeah.
A team with some youth, a team with some star power, but a team with just a whole lot of guys that are very talented. And they make each other better around them. Look at the factor that Corbin Carroll does just upon everybody else. But Ketel Marte is another guy that has a little bit of everything. It's average, it's power, it's speed, and he plays basically every game. So he's out there constantly. So that's a big number, but you're right. The NL is going to be very tough, of course, because of the star power of the Dodgers, star power of the Braves. But after that, there are some guys that are having sneaky good seasons that do provide some value.
Yeah, not willing to do anything quite yet. For me, over on the National League side, I want to sit back for a little bit, but take shots on the AL side. What about the NBA? They've been rolling out the awards, and we found out finally about Most Improved Player of the Season. We've talked about it throughout the year. It was probably a closer vote than most people thought. We said Kobe White should be in the mix, and he had a good shot. He really did when it came down to the final tally. A lot of these awards end up being very close. 319 to 305, Tyrese Maxey is your Most Improved Player of the Year. I'm just frustrated, Jim. I ranted about it when Ja Morant won. Same thing with Randall. Markkanen, I agreed with that one, but I just don't think that Tyrese Maxey should be eligible for the award when he's already established himself as a 20-point-per-game player, and that's where I differ from the voters. 9-19, doubling your scoring. Yes, that's what I'm looking for. But once again, the voters, second tier to maybe first tier, they're considering that Most Improved.
I think the voters flat out got this wrong, Joe. Here's the thing to think about.
That's why I stopped betting on this award.
And it's hard when it's one of those that's a subjective voting award. But really, what do the bettors look at here? Think about this. Tyrese Maxey went from 60 games played in 2022-2023 with 41 started to 70 games played, 70 started. Kobe White started 2 games in the 2022-2023 season. This year, he started 78 games. Okay? Again, most improved. Tyrese Maxey's field goal percentage and three-point percentage dropped this year compared to last. Yes, he had marginal increases on rebounds per game, a little bit better increase on assists and points, but look at what Kobe White did. Improved field goal percentage, improved three-point percentage, improved 1.6 rebounds per game, improved 2.3 assists per game, and improved 9.4 points per game. Isn't that what you want for most improved player? I'll tell you this. There were 12 voters who put votes in for Kobe White that did not put a single vote in for Tyrese Maxey. Those were the 12 guys that got it right in this category.
Interesting. I figured it was going to be Maxey, but it doesn't mean that I have to like it. Maybe a little bit of Embiid / Sixers effect and having a better season than the Bulls. I don't know what all the reasoning is. East Coast bias, not quite sure, but Kobe White certainly deserved this award. in the end, great season for him, but it did feel like it was going Maxie's way, whether we like that one or not. All right, Jim, what about the horses today?
So three horses on Saturday at Hawthorne. It's home cooking. A reminder, Joe, next week our focus becomes on the Kentucky Derby, your race. It's time of year to pick horses, so I cannot wait to hear who you're going to pick in the Derby. But my three horses at Hawthorne on Saturday, we're going to bet them all across the board. Race four, bet the two horse. It was this big across the board. Race five, bet the seven horse. Breaking news across the board. And race seven, bet the seven. Getting paid across the board. We're building our bankroll for Derby Day, Joe. We're going to talk about that next week.
See, that's why you got to be careful with the victory laps. That's why you got to be really careful.
We never forget.
I'm hearing from you. I saw Mitch Rosen the other day. He kept bringing it up to me. Like, everybody's like, oh, it's your time of the year. All of a sudden, I'm a Derby expert.
You're
the expert. You're the horse expert on the show, not me. You run into it once in a while. Like, look, I tell people all the time. Okay, got lucky. You don't tail a guy after he goes on an 80% heater for a month. That's when you want to go the other way. Okay. You do want to listen so you know what to fade. That's the actionable information that I can provide for you. But we'll go over that coming up.
The fade Joe time of year. I love it.
I'm just warning people. If you've been in this racket for a little bit, you understand exactly what I'm talking about. Thank you, Jim. Enjoy the nice weather outside. All right.
All right. You got it, Joe. Good luck.
There goes Jim Miller. And we also heard from the president of the Sports Betting Alliance, Jeremy Kudon, on Governor Pritzker trying to more than double the tax on sports books and why it could be bad for you. Broke down all sorts of Bears odds earlier in the hour here on Early Odds. Find it all on the Odyssey app. Just search Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski. Find me weekdays 8 to 11 a.m. on BetQL Daily, which airs on the BetQL network via the Odyssey app, Twitch, and 105.9 FM HD2. Check out the podcast feed. Special programming for you this Saturday morning. Up next, it's the Mully and Haw draft special for the next 3 hours. Cash those tickets and keep it locked right here on 670 The Score.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.